Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Dr. Happy, and I'm hoping and wishing and praying that you believe that I am a woman of God. And so, amen. One of the coolest things about being able to be in radio, you get to be able to have a platform to share what God has laid on your heart. Whether you believe him or not, nevertheless, we all have assignments. And so my assignment, praise God, is to encourage, to educate, and to empower. Now, I may not be able to educate you on brand new topics, but they're definitely ones that God wants us to expound on so that we can be encouraged. Because every time we talk about him or talk about the things that he's done or doing or will do, he's encouraging. And so when we talk about learning how to be more like him, it's part of our education process. And so I want you always to be encouraged. I always want you to learn something. But more importantly, I want you to be empowered to make the change. Make the change that God has laid on your heart to hear, whatever it is that he's laid on our hearts to hear. And then when you make those necessary changes, be empowered to share it with someone else. And so I'm glad and I'm excited and I'm happy every time I get an opportunity to share God's word. And so tonight, it's not going to be any different than any other opportunity that I have when I'm excited about sharing his word. So again, tune in every Monday night at 9 p.m. and you will hear an encouraging, you will hear a word of education, and then, of course, of empowerment. So for those of you that are brand new to the broadcast, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. Like I said, I pray that you will be able to hit on all three aspects. And encouraging, educated, and empowered. But nevertheless, at least you get one. Amen. Be encouraged. But for those of you that have been with me for the past, can you believe we're moving into 11 years? Lord have mercy. Can't believe that God has blessed me to be in this thing for this long and then to be able to have new information to share each week. And so I'm excited, always excited. And I know that I can be excited because you're praying for me, you're encouraging me, and you're keeping me motivated to do what God called me to do, and that is to teach his word. And so I have to name two people. Praise God, there's many of you, but I have to call two by name, and that's Jesse and Tammy Stowe, because without them, I wouldn't even know this platform was for me. Didn't even know about Blog Talk, go to figure. But nevertheless, they've been with me, they've been supporting me, and they've been keeping me focused and keeping me encouraged to do what God has called me to do. And so for that, I have to call them by name and the Omega Ministry Group. Now, our greatest praise has to go to our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. Whether you believe it or not, he is all of our fathers. And so I'm excited to be able to acknowledge all of those of us that will be encouraged in this hour. More importantly, we want to go to God before we go into our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us your precious gift of life. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to have all the many resources that you provided for us, even ones we're not even aware of that we take advantage of every day. And even the ones we are aware of that we take for granted every day. We thank you for the air that we breathe. We thank you for allowing us to be able to walk freely, to be able to call your name, to be able to pray, to be able to do the things that we take so for granted. There are many people on the other side of the world that are even now, Father, dying because they just call your name. And so, Father, for them, we pray that you give them your strength, that you give them their covering, that you provide protection for them. And, Father, as we take for granted our freedoms, we just thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to do what we need to do so that we can stand in the gap and intercede on their behalf. So, Father, again, we ask that you bless this hour. Allow us to get what you called us to get, and allow us to do what you called us to do because of it. And so, Father, for that, we say thank you. We thank you for being the vine and letting us be branches and letting us be connected to you so that we can bear fruit that will remain. Because without you, we can do absolutely positively nothing. And so, for that, Father, again, we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, that you will be before me, that you will go with me, and that you will let me say and do what you've called me to say and do in this hour. I love you, I honor you, and I adore you, and I believe all those that are in agreement will say amen, amen, and amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God, and I'm excited on tonight to be able to share. Last week, we had a bit of a technical difficulty. You know, we love these computers, but they don't always work in our best interest. And so last week, we had a bit of a difficult time logging in. And so I thank you for tuning in this week to hear the inspiring word that God had for us. And I believe he's going to put a little twist on it, but nevertheless, follow and be obedient. But nevertheless, we had to give this topic, I mean, this talk a topic. it would be the gift of imperfection. One of the coolest things that I believe I have been gifted with learning how to teach is to be taught. And so, and I have to call this name by name, Dr. Naomi Blitz has been an inspiration for me over the past couple of years. Just keeping my mind focused and keeping my thoughts and my heart in the right direction on many things that I've been kind of going through. And so one of the books she encouraged me to read was a book by Brené, I think that's how you say her first name, Brown. And one of her books is called The Gifts of Perfection. And many times I like talking about topics that seem a little odd, that seem a little weird to most, but more importantly, that they have meaning from God. And so when we talk about being imperfect, because I am a teacher, I like to always define words that God gives me, and not just because I just want to look at the dictionary, but I want to have a better understanding of what God is saying to me and what he wants me to know and what he wants me to grow from in the hour or whenever he lays on my heart to do something. And so when I went to the dictionary, I looked up the word, imperfection, of course, is the root word of imperfect. And of course, you know, it can break it down to being perfect, but nevertheless, we're not talking about being perfect today. We're talking about our flaws. And so when we talk about being imperfect, it means to be flawed. It means to be damaged or to be lacking completeness. And so another definition says, it said it refers to the action or state of steel and process of something temporal from a point of rest, particular in the past. And so when I was thinking about what does this mean and how does God want us to learn from this particular passage of, or this topic, if you will. And so one of the things I think when I was doing my study that jumped out to me, it said, it's important to note that being imperfect is a natural part of being human. I thought, wow. And so if we embrace our imperfections, they can lead to us being better at self-acceptance. And then my word, allowing us to be happy with ourselves. And so even one of the things that I read in my study, it was nobody is perfect. And I thought, oh, wow. I guess that makes that a unique term in respect of when we're looking at some of the things that we have to go through in life, some of the things that we are challenged with, how sometimes our imperfections can make us not only interesting, but unique, and then they can help us learn and grow as individuals. And so for that, I had to believe, okay, well, then maybe our imperfections can be a gift. And so, of course, I had to look up what does gift mean. And so when we look up the word gift, you know, there's so many different terminologies when it comes to gifts because it can be a present that we, you know, give to someone. But it can also have spiritual meaning. And so I'd like that this definition says a spiritual gift is something that is an extraordinary power given by the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, how could the Holy Spirit give us a gift of imperfection? And why would that be a gift? Well, the coolest thing is that I have to believe because God has blessed me to be a scholar, if you will. I can use that word now, of the adversary. And I like studying the adversary. And I like studying the adversary because you can't learn how to be free from him if you don't know his tactics. And so when we think about imperfections, and we think about being flawed, and we think about damage and lacking in completeness, the enemy uses these terms to make us feel insignificant, to make us feel unworthy of God's blessings. And so many times we walk in these ways and we get caught up because we just don't believe we're good enough, or we don't believe that we're worthy. But God says, no, you are worthy. And so like I said, Dr. Bliss, when she really kind of gave me that understanding, I am a king's kid. So with all my flaws, what all my challenges, what all the things that I'm going through, what all the things that I'm torn with, these are gifts. How can they be gifts? Because they make me a better person. Because now I have to stand up to the adversary and say no. When the enemy tries to come like a thief in the night to swoop us up and make us think that we're not, you know, king's kids. Amen. I can say yes. In the midst of me, Samuel teases me now because, amen, you know, I've gone through all these challenges and changes. And so all the medicines that I've taken has broken down my bones. And so I'm losing my teeth. And so because they're uncomfortable, granted, I had some really, 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 really cool people that benefited and helped me get some dentures, but they're uncomfortable. And so it's part of my flaw. But I don't like to make the best of me because I'm uncomfortable. I don't wear things. Amen. Because I have to do what's best for Leah. And so because the enemy wants me to believe, oh, you can't minister the word of God now because you don't look the way the world wants you to look, or you're not doing with the what how or shaped or presented the way the world. Do you think that bothers me? No, ma'am. No, sir. Why? Because I know who I am on the inside. That flaw doesn't move me. I know that I'm still able to move and have my being, still be able to comprehend the word of God and still be able to share it. Do you think I'm going to let the adversary bother me and make me feel less than who I'm supposed to be because I know what God has given me? Absolutely, positively not. So that brings me to why is the adversary so important for us to understand and know? Because he is our opponent. He is in a conflict, in a battle, in a dispute to make us believe that we're less than what God called us. And so, yes, my eyes may not be, you know, perfectly lined up. My ears may not be able to hear the way I need. My legs may be longer than the other. Whatever your flaw, whatever your challenge is, it has nothing to do with what God has assigned you to. It can't prevent you from doing whatever it is that God has called you to. Whatever it is, God will use it. Amen. Use it to make you a better person. And so when we talk about the enemy, we have to understand what God says. And so when we look up the definition of the enemy, of the adversary, it says a person, or we know who he is, but nevertheless, who fights against something or someone who is being considered to be a competitor of the enemy. And so when we talk about the word, it says he is our adversary. He is the chief enemy of God's people. That's 1 Peter 5:8. Thus, says the Lord, an adversary there shall even be about the land. He shall bring down the strength of the people in that places. Why? Why is it necessary that we understand that's his goal? 2 Peter 5:8-9 says, that's why we have to be sober-minded, be vigilant, because the adversary walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. So if he's seeking to devour you, if he's seeking to entice and entangle you, then you got to know how he's coming after you. And so you got to know his tactics. And what are his tactics? Well, he has several of them. But the one that we need to train and to develop is discernment. And why is discernment important? Well, discernment is important because it comes from God. And when we are studying to show ourselves to be approved, to rightly divide God's word, that means we don't live on milk forever. Have you ever noticed my niece, bless her heart, is having a baby, and we had her baby shower. And so, you know, just being able to see and know and glean and gain, knowing that, you know, babies, they need certain things. And so when they need certain things, it's because they can't get them themselves. And so we're like that when we first start out in the things of God. No matter what age we are, we're all babes in Christ until we grow and to become adults in the understanding and the knowledge of God. And so the Bible says in Hebrews 5:13-14, that anyone who lives on milk is still an infant. They're not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature,
who by the constant use of it train themselves to be able to distinguish good from evil. So when we are able to distinguish, we're able to discern. And when we're able to discern, we know when the enemy is throwing his fiery darts. Because remember, his tactic is to seek who he can devour. And so if you don't have the right understanding, if you don't have the right teaching, you will fall to his devices. You will fall to his demise. And so we want to be constantly in the word and applying God's word so that we don't become victims of Satan. And so when we operate in discernment, not only do we understand God's word, but it helps us in human understanding too. And so when we know our imperfections, then we do things to kind of build ourselves up. I know my daughter is very excited about wearing makeup. And so she's like, well, I need to wear it because I got to protect my flaws. Well, I mean, I guess that's appropriate to some degree, but not necessarily, because if you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, whether you have on the concealer or not, whether you have on eyeshadow or eyeliner or not, amen. You are still a king's daughter, kid. No matter whether I have my makeup or not, I know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm made in the image of God. So am I going to allow the enemy to beat me up? All these women look better than you. Well, they probably do. Amen. Good for them. Amen. But I'm solid in my thoughts because I know I'm a king's kid. And amen. That's not my assignment. My assignment is not to be Tara Banks or Tyra Banks or whatever. I'm not supposed to be a walking model. Amen. I'm a model in my eyes. Amen. And, you know, whoever else thinks so, amen. But nevertheless, my discernment, that's not a peak for me. That's not a trigger for me. I'm not moved by the enemy telling me that I don't look good enough. I was at one time, and it prevented me from being all that God called me to be because I was too caught up on what the world thought of me, because the enemy was using that as a tactic to make me think less of myself. So I took that imperfection and flipped it and made it what the word says about me. I used the proper discernment. Discernment also comes from prayer. See, I don't understand how sometimes we say things and we don't even realize what we're saying. And so a mentor that I had for many years used to tell me often, she's like, Leah, if you stop talking and start listening, you'll hear where people are. You know, I love talking, as you know, and I can talk and keep talking. But nevertheless, I had to be quiet for a while and quiet myself for a while so I could see some things that God was really trying to show me through discernment that I couldn't get doing all this talking. And so the more quiet I became, the more loud I became talking to him. Not necessarily the people, but talking to him. My knowledge and my understanding, my depth of insight, my discernment of different things that were going on in my life and the life of others that God placed before me to help, encourage, and empower, I could see differently because my discernment senses, and my daughter likes Spider-Man, my spidey senses were peaking now because I'm one with God now, because my discernment, my knowledge of the word, I have a better understanding about human nature and the way people operate and people, the way they think they do, say, and perform. And that came from me putting myself down in a quiet place and actually having a relationship, a full communication language with God, where I was able to do more and see more because I was thinking and I had the mind of Christ, and I put myself in a position where I could really get the wisdom of God, not just in my head, but in my heart. I like that Philippians 1, 9, and 10 says, many Christians have an unwise, undiscerning love, which gets them in all kinds of trouble. They love things. Now, this is the Message version, of course. They love lots of things which actually keep them from God's best. It says that we are supposed to get wisdom for our hearts. It's one way we can do this is by praying for God's wisdom. How do we pray for God's wisdom? It's simple. He says to ask for it liberally, and he will give it. That's in James. We master discernment. If we master being in his word, if we master spending time with him, if we master just really yielding to him in prayer, he will give us understanding of this world system, and we won't become part of the traps that the enemy throws out to keep us away from the things of God and make us focus more on our imperfection than the gift of understanding who we are and who we belong to because we know who we are. Amen. And so one of the hardest things that I think that we as believers or just people in general is that we are plagued by one of Satan's main tactics. Of course, he loves to help us to be distracted. But once he has us distracted, he likes to make sure that we're locked into strongholds. And so when we talk about strongholds, we're talking about being in a bondage state, if you will, where we're trapped and we can't see anything else, where discernment is kind of out the window because we're so caught up in that thought process. We're so caught up in that mindset where we're hindered. It's kind of like you're in chains, and how you see somebody or you can envision someone being in chains that they can't break free. Well, that's kind of what a stronghold does. It prevents us from coming into the knowledge of God and how we can be saved, how we can be delivered and set free and live the full understanding and the fullness of God. And so when we think about strongholds, there are a few that he really uses that I really think that prevents us from focusing on the beauty of the things of God and allows us to be focused and to be really caught up in our imperfections. And one of those strongholds is anger. Anger is a natural human emotion. It can spring up in any place. A couple of days ago, a good friend of mine sent me a text message to me and a couple other ministers, this text message about these police officers that commit suicide. And it bothered me. Anybody that commits suicide bothers me. And it's not the people that bother me, but it's more Christians that bother me in that respect, because somebody didn't speak up enough to make whoever it was believe that they had an out. They believed because somebody didn't say or do what they were supposed to do, because we're all supposed to be spreading God's gospel, spreading God's love. So somebody got missed because they thought their only way out was to kill themselves. That means we were not doing something. That means we weren't operating in discernment. That means we were not somewhere where we were supposed to be sharing God's love, sharing the wisdom of God to let people know, even if, because, you know, I don't believe in my heart, I don't believe it is our responsibility to change nobody, because we can't do that. But we can share the gospel, and God does that. But you can't operate in nothing you don't know. And so while we're so busy pointing fingers at people being, you know, not dressed right or not looking right, or you need makeup, or you need to put your teeth in, or you need to do this, and you need to do that, are we sharing God's love? Are we telling people, you know what, regardless of what's going on in your life, God loves you? I got a text a few moments ago from one of the teachers, and she said, I just want you to know that I'm with you, that I've been there for. She didn't have to do that. But God laid on her heart to text me that. And that motivated me. Because praise God, I was deep in sleep. Amen. And completely forgot to set my clock. But that was enough to motivate me and say, yes, Lord, thank you. Amen. Yes. But now, we can be so angry at stuff that we can't even hear people. We can't even hear or feel or experience the love of God because we're angry. And why are we so angry? It's because we're embarrassed. It's because we're exhausted. It's because we haven't dealt with past hurts. It's because we feeling like we haven't accomplished certain things? Is it because we don't feel like people have done us right? There are so many reasons why we can be angry. But the key is, can you give it to God? Can you let him, he said, give it all to him. Can you give it to him and leave it? I know the word says that anything that comes that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, we are, but many times we don't. What's he trying to say? What's he trying to do? I know what he's trying to do. And you allow the enemy to take that trigger and then to just put stuff with it. They didn't speak to you today, see? Mm-hmm. And now you're envisioning things. One of the coolest things that I learned over the past couple of weeks studying for my counselor's exam is that we take offense to so many things that we shouldn't. And why? It's because we're holding on to some anger because that it's coupled together. You know, they walk together. Sins, they, you know, by, they don't walk by themselves. They have partners. So you're angry. Now you know, I'm going to be, you know, I'm mad. Now I'm going to be angry. And then my anger is going to lead to a stronghold. Now I'm bitter and I'm ugly to people. Saints, that's why I have no problem apologizing. I don't hold anger. Anger will eat you up from the inside out. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. I believe one of the generational curses in my family is anger. I can remember stories about my grandmother and my father so just being just angry, just would throw stuff. And then in return, my father was angry. And because my father was angry, we were angry. And because we were angry, our children are sometimes. When is that system going to stop? It's our responsibility to stop that. How? By listening and getting into the Word. The Word in Ephesians 26 and 27 says, do not let anger, well, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down angry. Do not give place to the devil. It will become a foothold. Footholds become strongholds. All he needs is get a foot in the window, foot in the door, cracks. He doesn't mind. And he don't care if it takes him years to get in. Because once he gets in, he knows he can build a condominium. He can build a community. So you got to shut it down before it comes. Somebody makes you mad. Amen. Go to God first. I have to say that. Go to God first and ask him, Lord, how do I deal with this? Is this a me and you situation? Or do I need to go to the brother or sister and just, you know, what means thou this? What did you mean by that? Because the enemy will give you so much stuff to have you way down the street and you, they didn't even mean nothing by it. Wasn't talking to you. It's so many times I've heard people talking and thought they were talking about me and they want a bit more talking about me. But I take it home and they want, you know, when I get to my, I overheard you. You overheard what? I don't even, did I see you today? Girl, you know you saw me. No, I really didn't. I really didn't see you because I'm assuming. Don't take things personally. If you don't know, ask. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry because it will. It will become a problem. It become a problem. I love that James 1:19-20 says, this you know, my brethren, everyone must be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. For anger doesn't help you achieve the righteousness of God. Why? Well, because one, in my opinion, you want me and my sister to go back and forth because, praise God, she don't believe she has anger issues. But, amen, I call her Brunilda when she goes to that level. I'm like, Brunilda, come back. Come back, Brunilda. You're going too far. Understand where that comes from and stop it, okay, because you don't understand. So that's an imperfection, but you can deal with that. On the inside, you have to want to, though. You have to want to. It says, do not associate with anger, with men given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you'll learn his ways and you'll find yourself in a snare. That's Proverbs 22:23-24. We can't get caught up by other people's problems. And so when you know you have something that's not like God, fix it. I had major anger issues. I wasn't as bad as, you know, I've seen, you know, some of my family members, but nevertheless, I had my issues. And so I remember the very day that I changed, I was so mad. I would just kick stuff. And I did not connect with my brain fast enough because my brain said, there's a dumbbell underneath the bed. And I kicked and my foot hit that dumbbell and I was for certain that all my toes were broke. And so I couldn't help but laugh because it was like that towel commercial when it was like, whoa, that's exactly how I felt. I allowed my anger to almost hurt me. I could have been limping my whole life because I was giving in to the anger. And it was over something stupid. So that moment I decided, well, I'm not going to give to that. I'm not going to allow anger to rule me. Because I know that's a family, a generational curse. I want to be delivered from that. So what do I need to do? And so there were some steps that I had to take. And so when I get caught up, sometimes I get frustrated. And when I know, even now, because enemy will come back to see if the house is clean because he wants to come back home. And so I have to make sure when I'm getting to a point where I love Tyler Stanley when he says, halt how you're most vulnerable to the enemy when you're angry. I'll start with H. H is when you're hungry. A is when you're angry. L is when you're lonely. And T is when you're tired. And then my girlfriend added years ago, S, scared. So halt. You got to halt. If you're hungry, if you're angry, if you're lonely, if you're tired, if you're scared, you need to really check yourself because the enemy's coming because he knows you're vulnerable. And so when I'm tired or I'm hungry or I'm hurting, yeah, I probably, H could be for hurting too. When I'm hurting, my temperament is different. And so I know to just be dismissed from people because I want to be Dr. Happy to everybody. But nevertheless, there are times that I ain't that happy. And so those days, I sit at home or I go and sit down and be quiet somewhere because I know that the enemy can use that. And so I have to be first mindful that the first people that will get that is usually my children because they're the closest to me. And so I have to be mindful that I can't allow my frustrations or my anger or my whatever that emotion is to get the best of me because my daughter, bless her heart, she's going into her teenage years. And so the child be tempting the system. Amen. And so I have to check myself and catch myself because I don't never want to punish her or get so caught up in my anger or my disappointment that I am not godly. And so I many times when I probably should pop her in the mouth, nevertheless, I can't because I don't want to give in to the anger. I don't want that generational curse to come upon me because Lord knows I was beat in anger many, many days. And it bothered me for years. And I don't want my children to have that. And so, Mommy, you could have been a little firm. And I say, I probably could have. But I didn't want to give myself or give in to the anger that was before me. It was a stronghold. So now, mind you, the Bible does say spirit rise for the child. But nevertheless, amen, I had to know what was worse for me, for Leah. And so I knew God would get them on the other side. So amen, because I gave them back to him. So, Lord, that's your, you know, I do my part, you do yours. And so God desires for all of us to be in right spirit with him. And so you have to know where your traps and where the enemy has things set for you. And so I can't speak for every people. I can speak for me. And so you have to check your heart and you have to check your relationships and make sure that you are in a posture and in a place that you don't get trapped into the triggers of anger because that's the stronghold that the enemy will have you fall for. Another stronghold that the enemy, I believe, uses in this hour to really trap us up is even talking about imperfections is comparison. Why do we compare ourselves to everything? Why do we do this? Why do we allow ourselves to become bitter and jealous and ambitious with stuff that ain't even for us? I remember girlfriends like, Lee, you know, we've been ministering for a long time. How come we like Creflo Dollar and Joyce Meyer and them? I'm like, because I don't want to be. And she said, you don't want to? I'm like, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. Not in the least bit. No. Because I don't ever want to get to a point where I'm charging people. Now, mind you, if that's their business, that's their business. But I personally don't want to do that. I don't want to gain profit off of what I believe is free. Because for me, I was bound, and somebody took the time to walk me through my deliverance. So I want somebody to be able to be able to, if they call me, that I'm not looking at my pay scale or my pay chart. I mean, I'm not knocking at it. That's what folks do. I'm not. But for Leah, I don't do that. I will never compare myself to other ministers. You have your gift. I have my gift. You have your way that God has led you to go about your business, and God's leading me to go about mine. I could ask people for donations and stuff. If you want to do that, amen, go for it, because God will lead you to show you how to do that. But I'm not going to ask for that. No, ma'am, because that's me. Because I don't have to compare myself, because as long as God, and you know most folks that see me, know I ain't hurting for food. Amen. And no, amen. You know, I've been, you know, without a home for a little while, but I knew that I have too many places to go. The enemy cannot trip me up on comparisons. Now, there was a time that, you know, I wanted a nicer body. Amen. But, amen, I got the one I have. I can walk. I can see. I can move. I can do the things God. Why am I jealous of Halle Berry? I'm happy her grown girl got it going on. Her hair is nice and her hips and everything. Amen. But I don't know if she's as sound in the word as I am. Amen. So, I mean, apples and oranges, apples and oranges, apples and oranges. I cannot allow my ignorance or the lies that the enemy tells me to make me think that I have to want this earthly, quote-unquote, they call it natural. That ain't natural. It's demonic. To allow myself to get to a place where I want what somebody else has. I am happy when they say that you should be happy when other people have blessings, because God is not a respecter of person. If he does one for one, he'll do for you. Hey, man, he'll give you what you need. Not always what you want, but what you need, because some of the things we think we want, we don't need them. We don't need them. And so we have to understand, where is visions? Where are we going? Is it godly? Okay, so I want to be the best. Now, mind you, I did want a doctorate degree. I did. But it wasn't for to brag. I just wanted, because I thought Dr. Happy sounded cool. It sounded cooler than Sister Happy or Miss Happy. And amen, I already had my master's, amen. And so I was even telling my daughter the other day, I said, there would have been no way I would have went back to school had I not been really wanting to be a minister. And so the requirement at the church I belonged to, you had to have so many hours of ministry or religious theology. And so, you know, my bachelor's was in marketing, and so I didn't have, you know, it was a religious school, but amen, I cheated in them classes. But nevertheless, I wanted to make sure that I had sound doctrine. And so I went to school, and when I realized that the little requirements that they asked me, I accomplished that in like 6 or 7 months. I'm like, well, amen, I can go ahead and get my doctorate and be doctor. And they was like, no, baby, you got to get your master's first. And so when I realized and got the master's, amen, it was cool. Praise God. I was learning. I was gaining. I was getting information. Talk about discernment. I was excited about learning the things of God. It wasn't about so that I could brag about a degree. I was just excited about getting the knowledge and the wisdom of God. And then, praise God, when I had the opportunity to get my doctorate, I'm like, oh, amen. But so that I could brag? Are you kidding me? No. I don't have to compare with anybody. God gave me what he gave me, and I'm happy with it. And what he gave you, I'm happy he gave it to you. So use what he gave you. Amen. Don't compare. That's a stronghold from the enemy. The next stronghold is unforgiveness and bitterness. Amen. Saints, we got to give it up. We got to forgive. Why is it that we hold on to stuff that happened 30 years ago? Let it go, because I'm sure they have. I remember a family member was having some challenges, and she was like, I just need to free myself. And they're like, no, baby, you got to keep that. Mm-mm. If you've had this all this time and you haven't shared it, you keep that. I don't want that. I don't want to even be burdened by that, because if you didn't deal with that then, amen, that's something that you've allowed the enemy to grow and cause you the stronghold. But to allow that bitterness, it'll make you sick, saints. It'll make you sick to be walking around with unforgiveness and bitterness. You should rather forgive and comfort Amen. Don't be overwhelmed by the excessiveness of sorrow. Affirm your love for whoever it is that you're supposed to be loving. Amen. And then the coolest thing is that if God forgave us, why can't we forgive others? Sometimes I don't even have to tell the people that I'm forgiving them. I just do it. Because, I mean, most times they're not. They're doing it because they want to do it. They're doing it on purpose. And so I can allow that to become part of my burden and allow me to have a stronghold and be walking around bitter because how could they do me that way? Now, mind you, I still have to talk it out. Me and the Lord have, you know, but that's where you're supposed to go. Talk that out with the Lord. Give it to him. Lord, show me. Show me how I can be forgiven from this foolishness because I don't want to take that with me. And I close my eyes the last time and I wake up and it's like, oh, you can't make it in because you got unforgiveness in your heart. No, ma'am. I worked too hard. Go to heaven. I'm not going to let Jobo from Coconut prevent me from going because I got an art in my heart. No, ma'am. Won't do it. Won't do it. I will forgive. Why? Because I don't want to be ignorant to the enemy's schemes and devices to prevent me from going in. When we repent, we change. We can't repent and hold it. We got to change. We must quickly affirm the love toward the person and forgive them. Forgiveness is crucial to our spiritual protection. Satan looks for unforgiveness in our hearts as weak points so he can take advantage. He will take advantage of it, I promise you. I remember I met a lady and she's like, I just can't forgive this person that molested her. I'm like, yeah, you can. She's like, no, I really can. I'm like, yeah, you really can. And I said, it's easy. Just forgive and keep it moving. Maybe at the time when he was doing that, he was so caught up that he didn't realize what he was doing. But now that you're older and you do understand, you can forgive him because he was sick. Yeah, it was him. Forgive him. And even if you see him, tell him, you know, I forgive you if the Lord tells you to do that. Amen. But nevertheless, don't hold stuff and keep you from growing. You can't get past relationships and you can't find the right person because you're holding on to something that happened to you years ago. There is counseling for that. Amen. And it works. I'm a witness. Counseling works. It is for you. It's not for the other person. It's for you. It is important. I know there are many times, and I've done quite a bit of marriage counseling on both sides, been in it and helped other people. Many times when we go to counseling, it's not for the other person. It's for you. It's for you. If they won't go, so you go. You be delivered because you will give an account. You're not going to stand together hand in hand. Well, he wouldn't come with me, so I had to keep being mad and angry. No, the devil is a lie. For real, for real. No, you go and get yourself free. And then, amen, you're at a party with, amen. When you talk about being free and free indeed, amen, nothing bothers you. Nothing bothers you because you know that God will not allow nothing to happen to you unless he ordains it. And if he ordains it, he gave you whatever you need to get through it. So do you think anything bothers me anymore? Now, granted, I had to go through all the stuff I had to go through to get there. But nevertheless, my imperfections are a gift to me because they made me the person that I am today. And they will make you the person that you are if you allow him to let you see. Nothing happens to you that God wasn't aware of. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. And he said he's always there. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about him being the teacher and allowing us to go through certain tests. He didn't leave the room. He's in the room. He's just making sure that you stay focused, and that's why he's quiet, so that you can be focused on what you are to learn. Oh, so, okay. My lips and all that is kind of jacked up because I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and so it led to me having a stroke. Okay, Lord, you told me to stop eating a lot of salty foods. You told me to stop eating a lot of fatty foods. You definitely told me to stop drinking Pepsi, eating candy, but I couldn't because, amen. Oh, no. Well, Leah, they have consequences, baby. And so you may have to talk a little weird. And so, but you can still minister the word of God. You can still lead people to Christ. You can still do everything that you've been called to do. Just, you know, consequences. Okay, Lord, you know what? You're absolutely right. I repent. Help me not to do that. So give me some vegetables to eat in place of that. So, amen. Did y'all know coconut is sweet? Amen. Nevertheless, there are things that you can do if you listen to God. He will give you what you need so you don't have to operate in anger. You don't have to operate in comparison. You don't have to operate in bitterness or forgiveness. And last but not least that we'll deal with today is fear and anxiety. It says to cast your cares on him because he loves you. Be sober-minded and alert. Remember, the adversary is seeking who he can devour. So we have to resist him. We have to resist him. And my favorite that I didn't understand till many, many years later, that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound, disciplined mind. You got to operate in the power that he gave you. If you don't operate in the power that he gave you, then amen. Yes, the enemy, you know, he has power. Don't sleep. He does. But he doesn't have power over you when you use the power that God gave you. You can't operate in your own power. But you do have that power, too, because that's what he gave us. But he wants us to operate in his power. And we operate in his power. The enemy has to flee. He has to flee. And then love. Are you kidding me? If you really, really understood how much God loves you. Years ago, I went to this church seminar, it's a conference, something, and a lady was prophesying over people. And I was like, oh, well, I'll get in line. I wasn't really too, you know, didn't have much understanding at the time. But I got in line, and she said, your father died when you were young, right? And I was like, yeah. And I said, somebody could have told her that. But, yeah. She said, you don't understand what a father's love is. She said, when you understand what a father's love is, you'll be a better Christian. So I kept it. Like, well, okay, Lord, well, show me what a father's love is. And now that I know what I know that I know, what a king's kid is, he loves us. I mean, he loves us so much that he will never let anything happen to us that he hasn't ordained for our good. I believe that heart, I mean, my whole, I ooze in God's love. That's why I don't take nothing to offense. That's why I can't be angry. I can be upset, but I can't be angry. I can be disappointed, but I can't be angry. God loves me too much, and because he loves me, I like to love other people, and I go out for other people. Why? Because to me, that shows that I can show God's love, because I understand power, love, and now I'm trying to really get this sound, disciplined mind together. Because if I have the mind of Christ, amen. It said he didn't give us his power, love, and the sound of him. If he gave us those things, why are we not operating in those things? Why do we let worry, stress, and fear, and anxiety just take us to too many levels? I tease my children because they be running from bugs. I'm like, are you kidding me? You can step on it? You squeeze with your finger? Are you kidding me? Why are you running from something that you can't overpower? And so I know people have phobias of fear, but really, you don't have to. You don't have to. You give that to God. Because in my opinion, and this is just me, and once a lady told me, she said, no, Leah, this is my opinion. My opinion usually is right on. But her opinion wasn't on. But nevertheless, I believe this is true. If you operate in so many phobias and fears that the world says, it affects the other areas of your life. And so when the bill collectors call me, I'm not moved by that. When people say, Leah, you know, the half the side of the left side of your brain is dead, that don't move me. I'm not operating in fear and anxiety over that because I know God can fix it. So, Lord, what do I need to do? Tell me what I need to do. And my nephew told me years ago, which I loved and remember, when you're ready to be a student, God will send the teacher. And so I'm like, Lord, okay, I'm ready. I can be delivered from Pepsi and candy. I know I can. I can do what you call me to do. Just show me what to do. And a health herb specialist came into my life. And praise God, I'm losing weight. I'm eating better. I'm sleeping better. And I have found other things to replace those things that I thought I could not be delivered from. Why? Because my mind is now disciplined. I can think things through, and I can do things that are more in my favor. For Leah, not comparing, not operating in worry and stress and anger and unforgiveness and bitterness. I ain't got time for that no more. Mm-mm. I want to do the things that God has called for me because I can see the clearing. I can see where God is leading me. I can see, especially when I got the email this weekend about those officers killing themselves. I have a job to do, and I'm not being about my father's business. I think I'm doing some things, some good things, but no. I have a book that I need to finish. I need to finish this thing. The lady blessed me with a TV program. I haven't even put it together yet. Why? People need to hear the word. They need to hear the word so that they understand that the love of God is there. And every time we have an opportunity, saints, I am challenging you. I'm charging you. Tell people. Tell strangers. You know God loves you? At the grocery store, standing in line, God loves you. You just don't know where people are in their lives, where they could be really at the edge, at the brink of taking their lives because they have no other hope, because they don't know any other hope. Well, saints, we do know. And because we know it's our responsibility to tell, it's our responsibility to share, it's our responsibility to give our witness that God is amazing and that he will draw them closer to him. All they have to do is be drawn to him. Resist the devil and draw to God, and he will draw near to you. Amen. Amen. Now, you know I can keep talking because I love to talk. But I'm never out of talk, but I am out of time. And so I have to close the broadcast because I got to make sure I play my granny's favorite song. Y'all pray for my granny. Praise God. I think she's ready to see Jesus. And amen. I don't know what she's holding on for. I know that maybe God is trying to make sure that she does her last few assignments. And then maybe it's for some of us to do our last few assignments to get to her and tell her that we love her and tell her that that we're praying for and that we'll see her on the other side. But nevertheless, she's fought a good fight. And so I remember talking to my counselor, and I was saying, you know, my granny has done some things, amen, that I'm not too proud of. She said, but you learned something from her. And I'm like, no. And she said, yeah, you have. I'm like, no. And she said, yes, ma'am. She said, when people mistreat you, when people do things that kind sometimes, we learn from those things. We learn to be better people. And so, you know, maybe your response can change that person. And so that could be a teaching for them too. And so I remember distinctly the day that I yielded to the challenges that me and my grandmother had years ago. And I understood that it wasn't that she didn't love me. She just didn't love me the way I wanted or I thought she should love me, that comparison thing. And when I was able to accept it and see her for who she was, I think she was able to see me for who I was too. And at that moment, we had peace. And I have had peace from that moment to this one. And so when she says some things that little interesting. Amen. I could smile because I know where her heart is now. Before I was angry and I was operating in bitterness. And do you see how ugly that sounds? Thanks. We got to let that go. We got to let it go. We got to operate in love. Amen. 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 Well, I pray that you have been blessed by the broadcast today. I pray that you have learned something. Thanks for the courage. And I pray that you will be empowered to make the necessary changes to do what God has called you to do. My name is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. And I pray that you will tune in again next week where we'll have another inspiring word where God will give us what we need to be better people and to make the necessary changes. Like I said, I close the broadcast with my granny's song, Every Praise Belongs to God, because it does. And so y'all give praise to him that she's going to be where she's supposed to be. And y'all pray for all of us to be what we're supposed to be. Do not yield to the things of the enemy, but always yield to the things of God. And remember to always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.